You about ready? Oh, yeah. From the beautiful downtown cramped paradise and Oasis basement of Bozo's Bar and Grill and Tonsil Wash Station, this is Marty Ford live on BBSRadio.com, bringing you yet another powerhouse hour where you will listen, learn, and laugh for the next 60 of the quickest minutes of your life as we journey together on the road to empowerment and success and belief in yourself that you can, you too can and will raise your awareness, accomplish more than you ever thought possible, while you beat boredom, the enemy of us all, and best of all, find and release the kid in you, resulting in you achieving the great goal of feeling good about yourself. No longer do you have to be an American Idol, sitting around with nothing happening in your world. This is the place for you to get inspired and motivated to get up, get out, get going as you morph from being a spectator to a doer, having fun as you progress to your own success. That is what we do here. The hour of power to empower you. If you're feeling down in the dumps, time to get pumped. Tomorrow is the day of the hump. Yeah, you're successful. You're not a chump. Believe it. I'm telling you, it's true. Because sometimes when you're feeling like the only tree in a kennel, this is where you need to get juiced. This is where you need to get your stuff charged up, ready to go, ready to face, overcome obstacles, conquer the world, because you are in control when you are empowered to do so. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. There's a whole great world out there, and we are here to raise your awareness about you and your world and the world around you. So let's get ready to rock and roll. I'll tell you, I am so pumped. I found a couple of new songs to add to my repertoire. There's a cool word. I can't spell it, and I'd probably get it wrong on Jeopardy. And that was an interesting two or three weeks with that young woman who won almost $500,000. Exciting. Energy. Pumped it up. And she was very calm during the whole tenure there. Wonderful contestant. Lovely lady. And she won a lot of money. And a good man beat her the other night, although I think she beat herself when she went for a double, all in, I guess. I don't know. I watch it. I get too excited because I don't get too many answers. But I am so excited. Why? Because I found the Pointer Sisters. And I found the Pointer Sisters from a concert with maybe 50 or 70,000 people there with a 200-piece symphony orchestra, if that's not oxymoronic, because one's a symphony and one's an orchestra. And I think a symphony has strings and an orchestra doesn't. But I'm not what I know about music, like Echo and a Thimble. So please, if someone's out there, call in the radio station here, bbsradio.com, 888-627-6008, and set me straight, because, you know, I do have a bunch of ignorance, and I'm writing a book about things I don't know. I just included five more things in the past 2 minutes, and of course, the book is endless. But I'm pumped up. I found that, I don't know how, magically through the world of the great abyss in the brainwashing box that sits in front of me that I sometimes spend too much time in front of, which is why my back hurts and my neck and so forth. But I was out there bowling tonight. But anyway, I'm so excited because I found it and I was just juiced. I'm down here trying to dance with my aches and pains from playing ball tonight and the old age setting in and the creaking bones and the aching muscles and all this stuff. And I know it's horrible because, you know, I am white and nerdy and we just can't get it together when it comes to putting it to the dance floor. It's really nasty looking sometimes, but I'm here by myself, like I say, in the beautiful downtown basement bar and grill and Bozo's Bar and Grill and Tonsawa Station, bringing it to you every Tuesday night, live, 9 p.m. Eastern Time Zone. By the way, if you want to download previous shows, and download's a key word I was taught by the engineers a couple of weeks ago, you can download it by my previous shows, You About Ready, by going to www.bbsradio.com/You About Ready. And though my picture might appear and it might be scary, you have to close your eyes and just listen, learn, and laugh as we progress and manage our way through the next 60 minutes, the fastest hour on radio. You can also use the app. If you have an Android or an Apple device of some kind, you can download the app with my show, You About Ready, and listen as you learn, listen as you work, listen as you play. Just keep listening and have a good time, and you'll feel good about yourself. As I said, I found the Pointer Sisters with I'm So Excited. If you go to YouTube, type in I'm So Excited by the Pointer Sisters, find the one that's from a 2002 concert, and you will be lit up. That's all you need, folks. And I always love to add to my collection of Pump It Up music before I get going here. In fact, ball was late tonight. The games are so good, so exciting, so competitive. I actually contributed. And you know, when you win, there's no pain. I'm hurting, but it's not like when the teams I'm on don't win. You know, when you win, you don't feel the pain. When you lose, oh, my God, everything hurts. But I had to walk out towards the end of one of the games and get a substitute in. We have plenty of guys tonight, hot and humid on us. Sneaks are squeaking on a freshly buffed floor. It was exciting. I didn't touch the ball much, but I did all the little things. You know, I boxed out. I got some rebounds. I set some screens for the shooters. And I did hear as the ball went out of bounds, and I heard some of the guys, we had like seven guys on the team, and we sub in and out. Heard the guys on my team saying, yeah, the old man still got it. Excuse me, I'm getting so excited. I'm coughing on radio. That's terrible. But the old man still got it. Made me feel good about myself. Made me feel part of the team, part of the whole. Inclusion, right? That's a whole big part of life, is to be included in something. I found mine. And like I said, a couple of the guys I had mentioned, the younger guys who were about 25 to 30 years old, which is a few decades younger than me. They're very nice and respectful and courteous and so forth. But they told me I'm their role model. They pulled me aside last Saturday at the park. We were playing outdoors when we were changing snakes, sitting on the bench. They said, you know, Marty, you know, I hope I can do it when I'm your age. And it brought back memories. You know, I got a little goosebumpy, and I said, well, you know, you got to keep doing it. No one's going to stop you but you. You're the only one that's going to get in your way. You might have some bumps along the way, get hurt a little bit, have to sit out a while like we all do, get some black and blue, get some twists and pulls here, but you come back. You know, last Sunday at soccer, we had a guy who I haven't seen in a year or two, and he comes back and he's an excellent player, one of the European guys, and he hasn't played in a while, and he said, oh, I missed 1 week, and then I missed a second week, and before I know it, 6 months went by, and he hadn't played anywhere. He hadn't played with us in a couple of years. What happened? He stretched and he worked out. 10 minutes, pulled a hammy, had to go home. Felt bad for the guy. Because when you stop and don't do it, your body reacts accordingly. You got to come back a little patiently, a little bit more slowly, and ease into it. Because, you know, you have that hunger and thirst for the competition, for the camaraderie of the guys, for the sport itself, for the love of the game. And you just jump in. Maybe a little bit too quickly. I've seen it over the years with many guys doing that, and it's a shame. But he'll be back, I guarantee you, in a couple of weeks he'll be there. But I said these same words, similar words, to guys at the playground 40 years ago when I was maybe even 50 years ago. Yeah, I was 13, 14 years old. At the playground every night after dinner, after homework, we played basketball because they had lights at the playground, and we play. And these guys would come up from the gin mill, stinking of whiskey and gin or whatever, beer, and eating all the fried food in those places, working hard all day. And they're playing ball with us, and they were solid. They were built like tanks, and they ran all night, and they ran the young guys right away. We were exhausted. And I told these guys, I said, you know, man, I don't know you, but I love when you guys come up here because it makes the game. We have a good mix of ages and skills and styles and so forth. But I want to be like you. I want to play when I'm 40, 50, 60 years old. And guess what, folks? Here I am. Am I lucky? Yes. Am I fortunate? Yes. Am I blessed? Yes. Am I stressed? Yeah. Do I have my aches and pains? Yeah. But I still put my head down and I keep on going, right? History does repeat itself sometimes for the good things, right? I didn't even have – the games were so good tonight. I raced home, got in, got some water, went to the bathroom, washed up a little bit, came right down to get to my music, which I was so excited to listen to. I'm so excited. And I found another one. I didn't even have time to shower. So if the odor and the fragrance comes through the computer somehow and your olfactories go into overdrive and you want to turn away, that's all right. But just still listen, because there's a lot of good things that are going to happen and a lot of good stuff here. Tonight, the chemistry was right, and I didn't want to leave, but I looked at the clock and I had to get home, and I did. So, but I came down without showering. Just great ball. There was the chemistry was right. Some pushing and shoving, but no fights. Just great ball, the way we like it. So I'm so excited. Point of sisters, I said about 300 times already. And the other one is an older guy from the Woodstock era who I watched play this afternoon at work. So I brought him home on the YouTube. Santana, right, playing with a kid who could be his grandson, the kid from Nickelback, Jack Kroger, and they're playing Into the Night, which is just pure energy. Santana looks the same as today in that video a couple of years ago as he did 40, 50 years ago at Woodstock. The same passion, the same love that's coming through, the same energy that's out there in his music, in his soul, in his feeling, that he just wants to convey his love to us, his audience. And this kid Kroger is just the talent is tremendous. And hopefully he'll be around when he's 70. It looks like he's about 25 or 30. So I saw that comparison. And that song is a happy song, Into the Night, because it's kids dancing, enjoying. There's passion, there's romance, and there's all kinds of great things going on. So find your love, find your passion. There's something out there. We talk about it when we're fighting boredom, the enemy of us all. Everybody gets bored. But when you're bored and you have nothing to do, it's like waking up in the morning with no place to go. What do you do all day? And you end up staring in front of the rectangular brainwashing box, either watching a movie or listening to talking heads be rude, crude, and socially unacceptable, as we mentioned many times before. So get up, get out, and get going. I'd like to give another shout out to my good old boys and sweet little old boogers across the nation moving goods in their big old trucks across the United States of America on interstate highways that President Eisenhower built coming back from the war, especially sweet home Alabama, because I'll be coming home to you, y'all, down in Auburn, Alabama, because it's only about 85 days till kickoff down there. And them boys is all ready to go, and I'm ready to be there if I can get down there. Hopefully I can with my wife to visit some family and to take a great SEC game. There's something spiritual about football down in the SEC. I've only been to one game. I've watched many in the past year or so, and it's fantastic. They have the passion. They have the love like no other. Right? It's wonderful. And I'm going to give out, and I hope to get back, a War Eagle. Give me a War Eagle. We always like to start the show with some critical thinking. Because when you're thinking, you're aware. You're alive to yourself and to others. Your spirits are lifted. You see things differently. You hear things differently. You're able to understand and analyze and figure out what is necessary to keep and what you can just throw into the rubbish. Which, if you listen closely enough, is most stuff. Although, You About Ready with Marty Ford, live Tuesday nights on bbsradio.com. There's nothing to throw away except me. But listen to what I say and learn a little something, and maybe you'll laugh. We always like to start with a brain buster to get your brain going, a little critical thinking. So last week, the question was, what's the only food never sold canned, frozen, processed, or cooked? What's the only food never sold canned, frozen, processed, or cooked? It's always sold as fresh. And, of course, it's only one thing you find in the produce section. It's green, and it is lettuce. Remember, the darker the lettuce, the better. Just like chocolate, the darker the chocolate, the better. Based on all the studies that come out every other day. Remember, a couple weeks ago, eggs are good for you. Eggs are bad for you. Coffee's good for you. Coffee's bad for you. Chocolate's good for you. Chocolate's bad for you. But the dark lettuce is good for you. But you know what? Whatever you eat, if it comes from the ground, it comes from nature. And if you, especially if you grow it, it's wonderful, even though it may be a little GMO'd out there. Bear with it and find some good stuff. So lettuce is the only thing that's not frozen, processed, canned, or cooked. This week's Brain Buster, not too bad. It's a simple one. We've had similar ones like this in the past, so perhaps your brain is geared and ready to go. How will you go 5 days without sleep? How can you go 5 days without sleep? Tune in next week. Marty Ford live on bbsradio.com. The show is You About Ready. How do you go 5 days without sleep, right? I don't know. People go, they fast and go a long time with fasting. And until I learned about Ramadan about 20 years ago, I was told by some people I knew who were Muslim, they said, listen, we fast for 40 days. I said, damn. 40 days, no food, you must wither away, no matter how big you are, right? But then I learned that they fast before they eat when the sun comes up, after the sun comes up, and then, no, after the sun goes down, before the sun comes up. During the day, they fast. So I respect that. That's their culture. That's what they believe in. That's good. But when I first heard it, until I learned, because I was ignorant, remember, I have a lot of ignorance in me, until I was educated by some folks about the process of fasting in the Ramadan culture, I didn't know. So then I learned. So anyway, how can you go 5 days without sleep? Next week, tune in for the answer. This week's tidbit of useless information, which I can confirm because I used to do it, right? One-third of all ice cream you eat is vanilla. That means the ingredients. Not one-third of the ice cream that is sold is vanilla, although it might be more. Vanilla is the number one seller. One-third of the ice cream itself, whatever flavor you get, is vanilla. Well, that's a tidbit of useless information. And you never know when you're going to need a icebreaker in conversation when you're with maybe strangers or an uncomfortable situation. You might want to say something silly, off the collar, and a little goofy just to get things going. By the way, I made ice cream for several years, and it all starts out as vanilla. And the richer, creamier, gourmet, expensive ice cream is usually 20 to 24% milk fat, right? The regular ice cream that you buy, the generic brands, the store brands, and so forth, anywhere between 10 and 14% milk fat. So the richness and the creaminess comes from more fat, which is what we are as a society, and getting fatter and fatter. Later on, I'll talk about the obesity situation. And folks, if you have to be number one in something, I don't know why that is, but we are, and more to come on that later. So anyway, the higher the fat content in ice cream, the richer, the creamier, the more tasty, the more pleasant it is to ingest, and so forth. And combined with the sugar, that's not a good combination. So do it in small portions, right? Portion control, everything in moderation. You heard it all the time. Simple equation, get up, get out, get going. Exercise, burn more than you take in. Burn more calories or whatever else you're burning up while you're exercising, working out, even just going for a walk or swimming. Very simple, great exercises. And reduce the intake and you'll lose the weight. So we can get off the obesity chart and you can start looking good in your clothes. Maybe even have to buy new ones, right? Try it for 4 or 5 days. You'll see, your pants will be loose, you'll button the neck of your shirt, the collar, right? And there'll be room. And you'll feel good about yourself. And you know what? You'll want more, because that's what success does. It breeds more. Once you've had that taste of honey, it's hard to go back to the fake sugar substitutes. Some fun pun, son of a gun, we're going to have some fun. At first, I didn't like my beard, but then it grew on me, so I like that. Clichés. We always talk about clichés. I just heard one of our most frequently used, abused, overused, reckless cliché. Remember, clichés take the place of our modern-day profanity and curse words. We just fall back and rely on them, like WTF and all the other words that are out there that we really shouldn't use too much in public if you have respect for yourself and what comes out of your mouth, and which is the first sign of a fall of society. The other two, as we know, are the gap between the haves and have-nots gets greater, and that's happening, and the lack of trust in leadership, which, oh my God, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about that. Scandal, baby! The whole world is full of scandal. But this week's cliche, I've been watching some of these home improvement shows or flip the house shows or whatever they call them. My wife likes them. We sit around, we have quality time together, not talking, but watching the show after work as we get ready for a little bite to eat at night. And of course, the dynamic duo of Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. Or actually, up here where we live, it's Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune. Down south, it's Wheel of Fortune and then Jeopardy. So if you want to make wagers on the color of Vanna's dress or the last puzzle or the last bonus question in Jeopardy, you can be a little sneaky and conniving and make some phone calls to other parts of the country. But this week's cliche I'm taking from the home improvement, flip the house shows and build stuff. It's called open concept. And here's your open concept. What the heck is an open concept? The room is open. You can put tables and chairs and lamps and fixtures and furniture and accessories and ornaments and pictures on the wall. An open concept. What was it before? It's the same room. We've added the open concept to it to give it a better noun or a better adjective, a more descriptive term to just, this is a room, right? So we call it an open concept. Well, a concept is something that maybe you sit down and think about, conceptualize, maybe visualize, and then you implement. Implementation. There's another cliche that's overused. Oh, but the one I heard, especially with the crisis going on with the hostage exchange and so forth, is a couple of guys out there talking on them shows, talking like we might be getting some boots on the ground out there. And one guy says, we don't want no more boots on the ground out there. We'll bring our boys home. At what price? We'll get to that later. The open concept doesn't make a house a home. It just fills it with stuff. What turns a house into a home is the safety, the cleanliness, absolutely, the nurturing, the role modeling by the elders to the next generation, proper, appropriate role modeling, not the yelling, screaming, cursing, drinking, smoking, drugging stuff that kids see and then wonder where the kids get all their stuff. They just go to the parents and they take it out of the wallet or the pocketbook or the medicine shelf or wherever it's hidden. Kids ain't stupid. They know. And, of course, the love. If there ain't no love, it's empty. There's no soul. There's no character. There's no charm. Make your house a home. Bring in the love that you have within yourself by becoming empowered yourself, feeling good about yourself, and share it with others in your world. And you'll have a happy life. You'll enjoy things. You'll accomplish more than you ever thought possible. And that's the whole purpose of what we're doing here. You know, I talked about my role as a Pied Piper with the kids in play. I'm always talking about you got to be a kid, you got to play. You got to be a kid, you got to play. And if you don't think adults, mature people, elder people can never be a kid again, just put some bubble wrap in front of them and watch them pop it and squeeze it and bust it and all that stuff. They're going back to being a kid. Put up a wet paint sign. Everybody's going to touch it, right? Well, you have to touch it. It's inviting you. It's challenging you not. It's almost like having a mirror that you cannot walk by without checking yourself out. Oh, I look good. You better be saying that to yourself. You don't want to get if too many people around or if anybody, but you better be feeling it more importantly. If you feel it and you can say it, you'll even feel better about yourself. You do look good. When you're brushing your teeth or washing your face or whatever you do, looking in the mirror, when you can look in your eyes, your own eyes, and say, I like who I am. I like what I see. I love you. You love yourself. What's better than that? Now you can share the love with yourself. When you become empowered, when you're feeling good about yourself, it all follows, folks. It's a big cycle of success. So be a kid, right? Ride a bike, paint your face. Go shopping with your face painted, right? Why not? Splash in a puddle. Jump off the swings with the breeze in the air. Climb a hill. Climb a tree. Walk barefoot in the stream. Ride the waves down at the ocean. Make silly faces. No, your face ain't going to freeze like that. That myth went out a long time ago. And make someone laugh. They need it. Start a trend by painting your face. Be one. Be a pioneer. Make a move. Take the road not taken. Do something good for yourself and others will find. Look at this guy who's planting money with codes all through the cyber world on the phones or Instagrams, whatever that is. And people are juiced. They're finding $20, $40, $100, $150. And they love the adventure. It's like a scavenger hunt. But it's real money. Nothing motivates more than money. Right? Give kids money for grades. They'll be motivated. You might not have to use all the medicine out there. They might reduce their incident of ADD, ADDH, distractions, all the other stuff. And of course, let them play, right? Start a trend like the girls I see around town. They paint four nails the same color. And the fifth nail is painted a different color, usually a contrasting color. And it's the ring finger, I think, that gets painted a different color, which might be a subliminal message of some kind or something overt that they're putting a signal out. But it's very attractive, and then they decorate them with different stickers and symbols and signs and so forth. But I remember when our kids were younger, we'd go away for a couple of weeks to a compound where there was music and lectures and camp for the kids who were busy all day with their stuff. And after supper, there was a couple hours of like downtime where there wasn't a lot of scheduled activities. And once we had supper and visited with the grandparents and the neighbors and stuff, I had a 40-foot rope and I took it to the park and I tied it to a tree or I tied it to a bench and I started twirling it, right? And my kids or our kids would jump and they would jump and they'd get tired, go get a drink, come back and jump some more. And within minutes, a flock of kids would come over. And within an hour or two, there were 20 kids lined up. From the youngest third grader to maybe eighth, ninth, 10th graders, and a couple of adults too. And I try to twirl all of them at the same time. And every year we get a different group, obviously, because people vacation at different times. And the synchronicity, they were synchronized. Synchronicity was an album, I think. Who was that? The Police or Phil Collins or somebody? Anyway, I have to look it up on YouTube. And I'll play some of their stuff to pump me up. And I would twirl the rope, and sometimes I get six, seven, eight twirls. And they were good ones. And everybody jumped, and they feel good about themselves. I'd see kids during the day riding their bikes around, coming at lunchtime between, hey, are we going to jump rope tonight? You jumping rope? I'd see parents during the day at a lecture or at the post office or at lunch. Are you going to be at the park tonight? I want to bring my cousin's kids. They're coming up to visit. Oh, yeah, bring them all. It was wonderful and it was great exercise. The kids loved it and they just played. Some would jump and some had contests. I'd be spinning a rope 200-300 times and they'd all try to beat each other individually. Then we had twos and we had threes. And then I said we had maybe up to 15, 19 kids lined up in size order somehow, and it worked. And it twirled. And then I pulled the rope off the bench or the tree, and my wife or my dad or my mom would help twirl the rope so we could have more of a steady twirl. And these kids loved it. Every time we go out, we'd pack them in. And you know what? No one ever came up. I wasn't looking for anything. But the kids I know loved it. A couple of them said thanks. A couple of the parents said thanks. Note the notoriety. Not any notoriety. Nothing affirming me. I didn't want that. I just wanted the kids to have fun and watch them play instead of sitting on a bench with a computer screen doing something that they really don't need to do then. They need to be out playing. And most of them would walk because it was a small community. But a lot of them lived a little further out. They would ride their bikes and we'd have a great time. And I did that in the park where we live in the summer when the kids, a little summer concert series. And again, many of the kids I knew because it was a neighborhood, and we just jump and jump. And I would twirl. I mean, I can't jump, right? I'm very uncoordinated. You should see me on the basketball and soccer field. But we did it for the kids, and they loved it. So do something for kids that's healthy, appropriate, and something fun. But don't mess with kids. You mess with kids, you mess with the veterans. You're out of the game. You're off the streets. We don't need that. There's too much of that stuff out there. We want to accentuate the positive and the healthy things, right? We had that jump rope, and we always went safety first, and the kids played. And we did, I saw kids up there doing hula hoop, and they played manhunt when it got dark, and they had bike hikes during the day, and they played capture the flag, and down at the other field, they played running bases, camp games, fun games that I didn't know much about, but my kids did because they went to camp. A well done is far better than a well said. Hey, that was well done, right? A well done is better than something that's said well, right? What was often said, but never so well done. Sort of quoting Shakespeare, but not quite, right? Unlike some people, the leaders who talk too much instead of doing. We have to get that out of the way. So this is the beginning of June. I think it's June 2nd or 3rd. And every day has to have some kind of a observation, or every month, or every week, or there's something for somebody every day, an event. That's why event planning is such a big major in college, right? Make sure those napkins and the toilet paper match when you're putting together an event. So today is the beginning of June. June 5th is World Environmental Day. June 8th is World Oceans Day. And there's a few more. We'll go every week. We'll do a couple. This is Food Month. This is June. This is National Candy Month, National Dairy Month. And of course, if you have Dairy Month, you need Dairy Alternative Month for those who are lactose intolerant, which sometimes I am. I don't know how it works, but sometimes I get that uncomfortable pain and bloating in the side when I eat either yogurt or cheese. So in order to keep the cholesterol down and the acid reflux down and all the other discomforting things out there, I really keep it to a minimum. And it's National Fruit and Vegetables Month, which we are happy about in our house. Summer vegetables, put them on the grill. A little bit of oil and they're great. Awareness days. June is World Refugee Day, June 20th. And June 24th, mark your calendar, take your dog to work day. Got to have a day with the dog, right? Take a bag, will you please? Nothing's worse when I'm walking around a neighborhood with my wife and we see people we know who have their dog out and they're dangling that green bag full of the puppy load or doggy stuff. And they're just dangling, how are you? And it's fresh and it has a fragrance to it. And we're talking and I'm trying to turn away and be polite and all. So I just try to neutralize it and so I fart. So what do I know? June is, what is this month? This is the list of commemorative months. These are months to commemorate. June is Caribbean American Heritage Month. And June is also LGBT Pride Month in the United States. So if you're traveling around the world, maybe it's observed in other countries as well. We also have something else here. We did that. Oh, we did all our observations. We'll do more next week. So June is a busy month. You know, August, has a lot of things too, but August, as we said before, is the only month without like an official national type holiday for a 3-day weekend or that. Why? Because one, they want to celebrate my birthday because I'm a Leo, August baby, but that's not important. But two is everybody's on vacation. There's no time to put special events together, just getting ready for Labor Day. Wait a minute. Hot off the press, there's a new study from the experts, the credentialed, educated, highly sophisticated intelligentsia of the world. I don't know where it came from, but I know the experts say being home is more stressful than being at work. Wow, what a revelation. If you have kids, you know that, right? And if, even if you don't, it's more stressful being at home because you're at home worried about trying to keep busy to fight boredom, doing stuff instead of watching the rectangular brainwashing box and getting ready for tomorrow at work where it's less stressful. I don't know. But if you have kids, this is what your day could be like. After work, what do you got to do? Well, you have all this after-school activities you have to shuttle them to, piano, art, theater, tennis, chorus, swimming, et cetera, et cetera. Then you got to manage their time. Make sure if they have two or three things after school that you leave in time to get to the next one on time so they're not late. Because some people out there deduct, especially some of these coaches, right, who are living their life vicariously through kids, which is wrong, making up for their lack of whatever they're missing in their life. They write down, you're 10 minutes late and all this. And these are like 5, 7, 8-year-old kids who have no idea what they're talking about. And then the parent feels bad. So you create friction there. So you have time management. You have multitasking. Right? All this is multitasking. Remember what we said about multitasking, which is one of our cliches. Multitasking is doing a lot of things at the same time. None of them any good. Charles Emerson Winchester, III from MASH. I do one thing. I do it very well. I move on. Now, you don't have to be that arrogant, but certainly when you're multitasking, all your attention, effort, and work is being distributed too unevenly. Something's going to lack. So be careful with multitask. And what about laundry? Because, you know, kids can't wear their uniform a second time without it being washed. So you're up till 3 in the morning doing laundry. I remember when our kids were little, I worked with a woman who had 3 kids. She said she did like 5-6 loads of laundry every day because her kids come home from school. Everything's in the laundry. One had soccer, one had basketball, one had track. Everything's in the laundry. Then they put on clothes after that to either do their homework or go out and do another activity. That they come home, and then those clothes go in the laundry, and then they take their shower and get ready for bed, put on pajamas, and in the morning, those go in the laundry. I told the mother, I said, you got to, you know, tell them it's washed. You got to fake them out somehow. Goes, I don't know if your pajamas get dirty. You can wear them more than once. But the laundry can keep you busy forever. Homework, especially with the new math out there, folks. Have you seen this? 3 and 2 is 5. We know that. But there's a new way to figure it out. And I remember 15 years ago, our kids were burdened with this. It was called Chicago math at the time. I don't know why. It came from Chicago, I guess, where I'd rather have Walker Brothers pancakes and a trip to the Brookfield Zoo and a visit with my family than to do Chicago math. But you have to put it in groups, in sections, in its own little world, and then you'll come up with the answer, 3 plus 2 is 5. It's an inordinate amount of work to get to a simple answer. And you're just confusing kids and really upsetting parents. I remember having highly educated, credentialed, and doctoral people calling the house here. We're having conversations. What the heck is this stuff? 3 and 2 is 5. Yeah, that's it. But they had to go, and then it disappeared, and now it's back because the core curriculum standards are changing around the world. Be careful about that. They'll start burning books again. And then you have to have dinner, right? You got to feed the kids. That's the problem. You got to feed them sometimes, right, once in a while. Because you're doing all this stuff. And that could be in between activities. And ask yourself, if you have kids, how many meals of a slice of pizza or some pasta in a bowl were eaten in the car while they're doing homework, transporting your kid back and forth to an event, right? I remember our kids had to travel when they were playing soccer. The furthest game was usually 40 or 50 miles away. And this one town we used to go to, about 45-minute drive, we go, it was a 4 o'clock game on Sunday. Now, Sundays in the night, I like to be home to get ready for Monday, pack the book bag, get the lunches made, all that stuff. But no, we're going out to soccer, and I loved it because the kids were doing well and having fun and learning geography. And we'd get there for the 4 o'clock game. We'd leave home at 2:30, get there at 3:30, give the kids a half an hour to warm up. But the game never started at 4. You know that, folks, right? Because the 3 or 4 previous games all were 10 minutes late. So now you're starting at 4:30, 4:45. The game's an hour and 15 with the halftime and so forth. You're done at 6 o'clock, 6:15. By the time you give out the snacks, right, which I hated. When I coached teams, I voided the snack. There was no snack parent. We didn't do that. Kids don't need more junk after running around for an hour and a half. And we'd leave at 6:30, get home at 7:30, hadn't eaten dinner, and hopefully the homework was done, which most of the time it was. But we did it Saturday painstakingly because they had practice and then wanted to play with their friends. But I tried to get it done Saturday with the kids or have them do it so we could have a little bit of sanity Sunday night, 8, 9 o'clock when showers were done and we were just relaxing a little bit. So that's why it's being more stressful at home. And all the people, as I said, you have to. You have to have your bedtime rituals as well, which is usually 300 or 400 books you're going to read over and over and over again. I have Goodnight Moon, the picture down here, and I can probably recite the book backwards and a few others that our kids loved, and I loved reading to them because it was a good bonding time. And then you finally go to sleep and you wake up and you're tired Monday morning and then you go to work. So is that more stressful at home? Absolutely. Does it require a lot of effort and love? Absolutely. Do we do it? Yes. We do it because of the love, right? We do it because of the love. Did you know it's difficult to be positive in this world? Because ever since childhood, and we try to emphasize the positivity, like athleticism, is that a word? I don't know. We try to accentuate the positive, and you're never going to eliminate the negative because the negative, we're bombarded with that since childhood. How? Don't go out with wet hair. Don't swim for an hour after you eat. Don't talk with your mouth full. Don't talk to strangers, which is cool, even more so now with the psychos on the street. Don't sit like that. Don't. We are don'ted since our youth. And that's how we're conditioned in a negative way. I remember in the military, we had like a 3-day orientation when we first got to basic training. One day they told us everything we'd go to jail for, you know, like 8 hours of that. Who the heck needs that? Just do the right thing because no one ever went wrong doing the right thing. But they had to tell us that. That was part of their policy. We're conditioned and brainwashed towards the negative. Look at the news. I happened to watch the local news the other night. I just wanted to sit and veg. I was tired. Played basketball Saturday, Sunday was soccer, I cooked a couple meals, etc. And I looked at the news. What did we have? Crime, robberies, fires, murders, scandals, abuse, hostages, shootings, stabbings, crashes of planes, cars, and trains. Just negativity. I had to shut it off. I put on SpongeBob. I'll do anything. We're just brainwashed with negativity, and it's hard to keep a positive attitude. You keep a positive mental attitude, or as it was affectionately known a couple of decades ago, maybe a generation ago, PMA, your PMA, you'll be fine. You got to just filter out the negativity because it's coming at you from every way. The negative is going to overwhelm the positive if you let it. But when you're empowered, folks, it doesn't affect you because you know what you need in your life. You know what's healthy and right for you. The good things, the healthy things, the positive things, the things that inspire and motivate you to accomplish more than you ever thought possible. And you're believing half of what you see and nothing you hear. And I don't understand what's with all this vomiting and puking and heaving and hurling and upchucking on TV. Again, I'm in front of the brainwashing box at times and I catch glimpses of shows. The other day, Big Bang Theory, I love it. They're puking in the sink. Leonard and Penny on different shows, great characters, very believable, fun, enjoyable characters on that show. But here they go, hurling in the sink, right? Deadliest Catch, and I love it when they get a big load of crab or whatever they're catching out there to bring it up, because those guys really should be making all the money. That's dangerous work, and we sit there and eat and pay a lot of money for the restaurant folks to process it and cook it for us and so forth. And also, and they're puking. The guy was sick. He's thrown up right out of the window. Oh, yeah, I'm not feeling too good. And he's still working. I give him everything I have for his courage, because there's not many places you can go, right? There's no 911 to call. I guess they can send a helicopter out to rescue him. But he was throwing up on TV. And, of course, Sopranos. I love The Sopranos. I didn't watch it up until last year, but it's on demand. And when I'm up 2 or 3 in the morning and I'm writing some of this stuff for the show and I get wired and I can't get back to sleep, I watch some of The Sopranos. And the other night I was watching, and Adriana was being caught out there by the legal people, and she was all upset, and she just hurled right on the table, right? Some green stuff, the green slime. Incidentally, speaking of green slime, Mattel used to make a can, a little, you know, handheld can. Inside was this green slime. They used it on Nickelodeon years ago. And I used to have a couple cans, and I don't know where they went, somewhere. Maybe they dissolved. I left the lid off, and they just dried out. If anybody has a can of slime, Mattel made it probably 20, 30 years ago. Let me know. Give me a call, 888-627-6008, or send me an email if you don't want to call in at hamp73@gmail.com. hamp73@gmail.com. When you mix all the colors of Play-Doh together, those beautiful colors, guess what they turn into? They turn into brown, or some form of brownish gray, mud. Well, it's the same thing with food. You go to a spread and you put out green and red and yellow and orange and white and so many beautiful colors and purples, so forth, of colorful food. And when it, at the end, out the end, it all comes out, as we know, except for the corn, which miraculously comes out whole, like it's never been chewed, even though you chewed it. And it's still in its yellow natural color. I don't know what they're doing to the food out there, folks. I don't know what they're doing. But when corn is chewed and swallowed and comes out, it's like a magic thing, like on Magic Tricks Revealed, or Illusions or something. Remember, education is an ongoing discovery of our own ignorance. Education is an ongoing discovery of our own ignorance. How many times? I watched Jeopardy. I didn't know that. I was ignorant. I told you, I'm writing a book about things I don't know. It's endless, as I said before. I swear, I declare you, I will never dare. That's how much I care. My goal is to make you aware. I know life is not fair. Put in the hard work, which is the price you pay. You're fair by doing your fair share. Slowly getting in shape so your muscles won't be in need of repair when they tear. You'll live life with flair. Success will no longer be rare. Yes, your arms, you have the right. They can be bare. You have the right to bear arms. Beat boredom, become empowered, be a kid, doing many of the fun things you once did. Remove the burdens, impediments, and obstacles covered by an artificial lid, of which you can be rid. Get up, get out, get going, losing the girth. Realize physical, emotional, biological, and spiritual birth. Gotta be life out there other than us here on earth. Enhance, enrich, and enlighten your world. Lift your spirits. You have self-worth. Live life in control. Isn't this the way you want to roll? Like me, do you have soul? Hey, give me some butter. I'm on a roll. That's our little gem that we have tonight, that we want to let you know that you can do all this stuff for yourself, by yourself, with a help, like the Beatles said, with a little help from some friends. Find those in your world who are going to make you feel good about yourself. Find those who support you, no matter what condition you're in recovery, out of recovery, in need of recovery, whatever it is. There's help out there, and it's right in your backyard. All you have to do is take the first step to get there. In order to get there, first you have to leave. It's not going to come to you. You got to take a little initiative, have a little passion for yourself, a lot of love for yourself, and put yourself out there. Take a risk. As I said before, take the road not taken. You notice the less you pay, the more you eat, and the fatter you get. People are eating less expensive food because money's tight. The less expensive food is, you know, starches and carbs and sugars, loaded and all. They're getting bigger and bigger. And look at the buffets and the fast food, which is really food, and all the pasta, bread, starches, and beers and so forth. You got to be careful with that stuff because we're reading right here. There's 2.1 billion people, which is 30% of the world's population, is obese or overweight. Now, they list the top 10 countries. Guess who's number one? Us. Yes, the U.S., United States. Why is that? Because we're lazy, we're fat, we're apathetic, right? It's not good. We got to get up, get out, and get going. You got to stop being brainwashed into being something that you were not. Stop being a follower. Stop being a Me Too person. Stop with me saying all these negative things. And I'm going to start to say, feel good about yourself. Follow yourself. Be a leader of yourself. Do right things for yourself. Don't worry about the other people because they're going to want to do what you do once you reach your goal. Say, man, how'd you do that? This is what I did, and you'll tell them, right? The world is becoming more obese, but not surprisingly, we're number one. And that's not a chant we want to hear. And about 18% of all deaths in the United States, 18%, that's a lot, folks. 18% of people dying is because of obesity. A study suggests that. Well, if it's suggested, even if it's half of that, that's 9% too many. We don't need to be killing ourselves with that stuff. There's enough other things out there to be taking us out. Now, we want to get into a sensitive area, the Veterans Administration. By the way, my website is www.connectwithveterans.com. www.connectwithveterans.com. And it's a registry where veterans can go to register, put their name, rank, serial number, all that stuff in there, their contact information, and then they can find each other, locate their buddies who they spent those special years and times with serving our country while wearing a uniform. Yes, there's a $25 registration fee and a $10 annual renewal fee, but the money's going to the right people. It's going to the veterans. I'm going to take a few bucks. I'm telling you straight up, and I'll give you an accounting whenever we get the money coming in. I'm going to take a few bucks and help pay for the cost of the website, which isn't that much. But the rest of it we're going to distribute to deserving veterans and their families. And it's a crying shame that the VA, the people who have responsibility, economic and business responsibility to take care of our veterans, are not doing so. And guys and girls are dying before they can see a doctor, waiting 200 days. And this guy, the leader, just resigned. Well, I'm going to ask one thing. I want to see his compensation package. I want to see his golden parachute, as they call it. Where is the money flow? Where is all that money going? And who's getting it? And why isn't it being used to service, provide the services so desperately needed by our military personnel who do the hard work, who do the things that make it possible for us to do what we do, and we do it a little bit more? Where is that money going? It's a shame and it's a scandal. Right? And the Senate just blocked the House bill. The Democrats in the Senate just blocked the House bill. They blocked the House's bill to hold VA officials accountable. So now there's no accountability. The guy resigns. He leaves. He'll probably serve in another position somewhere because they hide him out like people who abused kids many years ago in certain environments. They hide him out in some podunk area. Excuse me, I don't mean podunk. Some remote area, maybe in another country for a while till the dust settles, and then they bring him back. And that's not right. You know, the VA has more to do than steal the money. Yeah, I'm saying steal. Or abuse the money. Yeah, I'm saying abuse. And not take care of our veterans. That's shameful. Because the VA scandal is going to turn into a blame game. And we know what happens in the blame game. And here's an example of it. The little story. And somebody could have done something about it. They weren't worried about retaliation. They have government jobs. They're not getting fired. They're not getting laid off. They might get shut down during a government shutdown, but called back with probably retroactive pay. And they're getting bonuses down there. How do you give people bonuses for not doing their job? That's unbelievable. It's a story about four people named everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Yes, it's everybody's job at the VA to do their job, just like it is everywhere else. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. I never realized that no one would do it. What the heck is that about? It ended up that everybody, here we go, blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. They could have done their jobs. Could have done it better than they did because they did nothing. Anything would have been good. And they start pointing fingers. Remember, folks, when you're pointing fingers, you're pointing one at something or someone, but you're pointing three back at yourself. You're pointing three back at yourself, and that's not good. We got to keep going. We got to take care of what we were supposed to do. Can you imagine if the military folks said, listen, I'm putting down my guns until you take care of us, right? We'd be defenseless. We'd be vulnerable. We'd be overrun. By the way, be careful of the Russians. I'm going to teach you a few words of Russian right now, because the Russians are coming. Remember the movie 30, 40 years ago? Well, they're coming, and they're maybe teaming up with the Chinese, so we have to get our defense up, get our guard up. And if they're not coming, then the others are. So I'm going to teach you a little Russian, three words. First word is Grotsky. Say it now, Grotsky, right? Second one is Frondorky. Frondorky. Okay. Third one is Backdorky. Backdorky. Say it with emphasis. Say it with passion. Say it with love. And what are the three words that you just learned? Grotsky, Frondorky, Backdorky. Well, you're out late at night and it's dark and you don't want to leave the car on the street. So you have a door open, and it opens up the door where you put your car. But it's not working, so you have a key to try to open up the door that'll let you put your car in. That's the Grotsky. You turn in the key to open the garage. You have Grotsky. Oh, Grotsky's not working. Must be broken. So you go to front door. You go to the front door. You have front door key. So front door key don't work. Why? You have the chain on. You have a deadbolt on. Something don't work. So Grotsky not work. Front door key not work. You go around the house. You go where? Back door. You go back door key. You put the key in. It opens up. You're in the house. So you have three methods of entering your house. Grotsky, front door key, and back door key. So you just learned something about the Russian language, and hopefully we don't have to learn anything more serious than that, as long as we have control of ourselves, take care of our military, and hope that guy Putin, which is really put in, which he can't put in, like all in, for various reasons. So we have some Russian words here. By the way, I'm part Ukrainian. Grandma was somewhere over there. Potato farmers. That's why we have the big hips. The divorce rate is still high in the U.S. It's 53%, right? If you shoot 53% from the floor in basketball, you're a Hall of Fame player. If you shoot 53% from the free throw line, you're nobody. You're barely going to get in the game unless you're a superstar who can make up for it in other ways. There's other countries who have higher divorce rates than American. Spain, Portugal, Luxembourg, the Czech Republic, and Hungary, their rates are higher than 60%. And Belgium, for whatever reason, has the highest rate of divorce. It's 70%. And the lowest rate seems to be 3%. But universally, internationally, they have discovered, the experts, remember, the credentialed, educated, highly motivated people to teach us these things and bring them to us, they have figured out that the number one reason for divorce is not infidelity, and it's not economics, which usually you think it is. But the number one reason for divorce, of course, is marriage. People don't get married, there wouldn't be divorces. We know that because we're smart. You want to stop thinking about the negative. Instead of running away from stuff, run towards a goal. Go somewhere. Do something. Think positively. Power up yourself to solutions, creating reasons to define your success instead of falling back on excuses to explain a failure. So you want to be running towards something. We're going to do one of these every week. Little tidbits of useless information. We have a lot of them here. But you have to stop doing certain things and start progressing in life, and you do them healthy. First thing, you stop running away from your stuff. You know, if your house, yeah, the water leaks in the toilet, the screen door is broken, and the bedroom needs painting, and you say, oh, my God, this is horrible. I'm going to go away for a week on vacation. But when you come back, the same problems exist. You ran away from your problems, and people run away from a lot more. They run away from themselves. They run away from love. They uninvite love in by their actions and behaviors and their fear of success. Remember, we're not afraid of failure. We're afraid of success. Fear has two meanings. Forget everything and run, which what you're doing if you're running from your problems. Forget everything and run. Or fear can be face everything and rise. Face the challenge. Overcome the obstacles. Live your life on your terms. And when you do, you'll be successful. You'll be happy. You'll enjoy life. The choice is yours. You can forget everything and run and live in fear and live a lie. What's worse than living a lie, folks? I don't know, because you're not true to yourself. If you're not true to yourself, part of being empowered is you got to be true to yourself so you can be true to everyone in your world. And people feed off that. They sense it. You sense it, and you know when you're being fake. You know when you're living a lie. Not a good way to go through life. And you can also, on fear, you can face everything and rise to the challenge. Overcome obstacles. Conquer issues, problems, and concerns, right? You can do all that. You can't do anything when you have fear in your world, right? You're afraid of failure if you don't try. To try is not fail. You learn from mistakes. That's how we learn. The diaper bag. Oh, my goodness. We haven't had a diaper bag. Have you have your diaper bags out there loaded with what? Wipes and creams and clothes and toys and juice and Cheerios, first aid and Purell, all right? So we finally got rid of the burden of what do they call that thing? It's like a backpack. Not the sassy seat. But you had your diaper bag loaded with stuff. You put it over one shoulder. You had the kid in the other shoulder. So finally, the kid's able to be out and about without all that stuff, right? And so your hands are unoccupied, like hands-free. You have to fill it with something. So what do? Right? The goodie bags are gone. Not the goodie bags are gone. The diaper bag is gone, and the kid is old enough to walk and be out there. So what do we substitute it with? We substitute with coffee and a cell phone. Coffee and a cell phone, the new status symbols. I got a lot of attention when I had the kid and the diaper bag with me. Strangers would come up and have conversations. I was leery of them, but after a while, they were nice folks. Remember, folks, you don't stop having fun when you get old. You get old when you stop having fun. And I'm going to close off tonight with some words of wisdom. The difficult, it takes some time. The impossible takes a little longer. This is Marty Ford, live on bbsradio.com, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, every Tuesday night. Power up your power, because the power is in you.